Well, we're going to conclude our series this morning on trials. Some of you may be glad. Maybe you've got to practice walking out the word in the midst of the trials series. But let's go back to Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. For when I fall, I will get up again. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. You know, the bottom line of this series is that we're all going to face things. We all go through things, tests and trials and difficulties. But the Lord is with us, and the Lord is a light to us in the midst of it. Luke 21:34, I gave you that last week. Jesus said, don't let your heart get overcharged with the cares of this world. Don't let your heart get drunk on all the problems and so forth. Sister Gretchen was talking about beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. If we're not careful, we can just behold our problems. We can behold what they're doing to us when we need to be beholding what they can do for us, what they're preparing us for. Amen? You know, if you want to build your physical muscles, you don't just lift 5-pound dumbbells your whole life. What do? You increase the resistance. You learn to push against a little more and a little more. Well, I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is at hand and it's advancing. So there's things we got to push. There's things that we pray into. There's trials we face that we learn to stand in the Lord and fight against. More on that later. But don't get drunk with the cares of this world. Don't let your heart get overcharged. The devil cannot whip you sober. If your mind and your heart are stayed on Him, Isaiah 26:3, He keeps them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him, who trusts in Him. Hebrews 12:2, but for the joy set before Him, Christ endured the cross. It was the joy that was coming that empowered Jesus to be able to face the suffering He was going through. He knew there's going to be something good on the end of this. It's going to be worth it. Amen. So in recapping, what we looked at was, we started this last week. The first one was, what do trials do for us? Well, they work for our good. Luke 21:12, Jesus said, before all these things, they'll lay their hands on you, they'll persecute you, they'll deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons. You'll be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and not in a good way. Verse 13, but it will turn. Everybody say, He'll turn it. But it will turn out for you. It'll turn for you. Not against you, it'll be for you. All the persecution, it'll work for you. As an occasion for testimony. And then Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has made all things beautiful in His time. Wow. He's a redemptive Father. Do we serve a Father that our tests can actually become testimonies? That our messes can become messages? That is the God that we serve. I know of a man who was an alcoholic for most of his young adult life. And at around age 40, God delivered him. And he became a tremendous asset in God's hands to help deliver many other young men from alcoholism. God turned it. God turned it. He didn't lament his early life of alcoholism. He used it, and it became seed in his hand, empowered to help bring other young men out of alcoholism. Amen. This is the God that we serve. Touch your neighbor and say, He can turn it. I know of a woman who was molested by her uncle as a little girl. And after a period of years, she made a decision that I will no longer serve molestation. It will serve me. It'll serve the purposes of God. And she began ministering to young girls who had been molested by family members. This is the God that we serve. We do not lament our past. We use it. This makes us invincible in the kingdom of God. We can not only stand everything that happens to us, we can use it. And it can be redemptive in our Father's hands. It can become seed in our hand. Isn't it interesting how we go through periods of the desert, of the wilderness, and then God comes running, puts rain in our hands, delivers us supernaturally, and then where does he send you? Back to the desert. Back to the wilderness with help in your hands. There's no place safe where darkness can hide from the light of our Father's redemptive power and love. No place darkness can hide. No thing he can't turn. No thing. Jesus is our model. He took the worst thing that ever happened to him, the crucifixion, and turned it into the best thing that could happen to you and I, the forgiveness of our sins. Reconciliation with his Father, right? But for the joy that was coming, Jesus endured the suffering. Paul loved to preach. The apostle Paul loved to preach, but he ends up in jail. I bet he didn't want to be in jail. But he didn't lament jail. He used it. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And what was jail for him became joy to you and me. You see, this is the God we serve. This is the God we serve. We wear a badge of invincibility because our God wastes nothing. Sometimes we face adversity and trial and suffering by our own hand. Sometimes we face it by the hands of others. But either way, our God can turn it. Isaiah 61 says he gets glory not when there is no mourning, not when there are no ashes, but when our mourning is turned to dancing and we get beauty in place of those ashes. Because God can make all things beautiful in his time. He gets glory when we stand like oaks of righteousness amidst the storms of this life. Let's go to the second one. Trials do for us, well, they conform us to Christ's image. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn. Jesus, be the firstborn among many other brethren. Jesus shouldn't be known as the only Son of God the world has ever seen. They should see a bunch of them. He's just the firstborn among many others that are to come. So we all have a destiny according to this passage. And it's not just going to heaven. It's not just going to church. It's not just being in Sunday school. We all have a destiny, and it's to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. As a human being, that's your destiny. You're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's the path you're on. Bruce Bartow will tell you God answers every one of your prayers based on that criteria right there. Does it conform you to the image of God's Son? And he ties it in verse 29, our destiny, to verse 28. He says that everything's working for our good. What's our highest good? To be conformed to the image of God's Son. That's your highest good. Now, I thought growing up in my immaturity, my highest good was to have no trials, have no problems, never get squeezed. But what I've learned in my 47 years is that my highest good is to look like Jesus and to wear the attitude of Christ and the spirit of Christ and the life of Christ, no matter what I'm going through. Every one of those things bows its knee to the greater cause that God wants Steve walking in the attitude and the spirit and the life and the health of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That is my highest good. And can I get a witness? When you go through pain and suffering, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a marriage, very hurtful things, listen to me. The only way we really get through them is to wear the attitude and spirit and life and perspective of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to get through it. And that is how he causes all things to work to good, because he's causing everything to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. And that is your highest good. Now, why would that be? Because God made you in his own image. So whatever looks good on him is going to look good on you as a human being. You can't escape that. You didn't make yourself. Remember, he handcrafted you in your mother's womb. He's numbered the hairs on your head. He made you, so he has put his likeness. Literally, Genesis says he fashioned his likenesses on you. They're written into you. So your highest good is to put on Christ. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Your highest good is to put on Christ as you go through it. Amen. How many people have been destroyed not because of the event itself, but the aftermath of that event? Because they wouldn't face it in the attitude, the perspective, the life and spirit of Jesus Christ. Instead, they put on the flesh. They put on anger. They put on a grudge for 20 years. That is not living. That is not your highest good. Woo! I feel the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 and verse 15 both say the end game of church is that we all grow up. The end game of leadership in the church is that we all grow up to look like Jesus. You know, interesting, because when I was in church growing up, I thought the end game was to die and go to heaven. But it's here we get conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And even though we're all birthed in immaturity, it's never the Father's plan. We stay there. Never the Father's plan. You don't even want your own kids to stay immature. I know that Mama wants them to live there, you know, for a long time. I know. But as good parents, we want them to grow up and mature. Some events in this life, God uses. I didn't say He causes them, but He will use trial and test and tragedy to sharpen us into the image of Christ. And some of our staff, these last few months, have been growing and learning and getting equipped in the way of some great tools that they can utilize one-on-one. If you get stuck, sometimes we get stuck. We have a hard time moving past something, a past hurt or a past tragedy, and we end up walking the same mountain over and over again. But there's people here who can help. Who can help you? Don't be afraid to ask for help. God causes all things to work together for our good. And what's our good? Well, it's to be like Jesus. And I was visiting a discovery group at Wayne and Tina Larimore's on Wednesday night, and this one came up in the discovery group material. Matthew 11:30. Sorry about that. Matthew 11:30 in the Message Bible. Jesus says, I'm not going to lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Where's that in the body of Christ? That should be us. Free and light, because Jesus doesn't yoke us with anything heavy or ill-fitting. Come on, Holy Ghost. Help us out this morning. What we ended up talking about Wednesday night is that everything Christ invites us to feels like wings, not weights. Everything your flesh invites you to is going to weigh you down. It's going to be a hard taskmaster. Bitterness is a weight. Being mad at God and blaming Him for all your problems, that's a weight. Holding a grudge for 20 years, that's a weight. Trusting God no matter how you feel is wings. Trusting God no matter what you're going through, that He's good and He's with you, feels like wings on a human being. How about forgiving others? Wings. How about forgiving yourself? Wings. Who do we think we are if the God of the universe has paid our debt and said, I have forgiven you, no more do I hold your trespasses against you, Hebrews chapter 8 and the five terms of the new covenant. I'll remember your sin no more. Why are we always bringing it up? I love it, and I've heard several people say this over time. I was confessing a sin to the Lord, and He said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then He said, I don't know why you keep bringing all that stuff up. You have to make a decision, which is greater, the blood of my Son or your ability to fail? It's a pride issue. I don't want to have more faith in my ability to fail than I have faith in the one and only Son of God. And His ability to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. What joy to know that everything we go through, God's using to make us more like Jesus. Everything in life is being used to send us to our destiny. Everybody say everything. I want to make this point. Everything in life God can use to send you to your destiny, which is to be like Jesus Christ, which is your highest good. Your highest good. A woman lost her daughter, a young daughter, to a car wreck. Did God cause that? Absolutely not. Can He use it? Yes. Can He use it to conform her to the attitude and perspective and love and life of her son? Yes, He can, if she will let Him. And I submit to you, that's the only way she can come through it. It's the only way she'll survive that. Is letting Christ and His attitude and His way be formed in her. Growing up in all aspects into Christ is our destiny. Being mature as Christians is our destiny. And God's going to use everything you go through to do it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So we can live according to our destiny and enjoy the fruit of our maturity and the attitude of Christ as He manifests in and through us. Or we can live against our destiny, call ourselves victims, and eat of the fruit of the frustration that comes from trying to wear unchristlike attitudes and perspectives. This is rich this morning. I hope you're hearing me. Amen. This saved your life. How many of us can say we're most happy when we settle down in our immature actions and attitudes? Nope. We don't settle there very well. Why? Because we're born again Christians. And Christ Himself lives in us and knocks on the door of our heart and says, that's not who you are. That's not what you're made for. Sin is not just bad. It's bad for you. Sin is unhealthy. I love that He fashioned His likeness on us. Amen. I know we have free will, but the deck is stacked. Because Steve's body and heart and organs and his mind rejoice when he participates with the divine nature of his Creator. Amen. He sings. Yeah, I have free will and I can kick against the goads if I want, but why would I? When everything in life is pushing me to Christ's likeness. What a good father. How many of us are happy just settling down in selfishness, grudges, plots of revenge, conflict, strife, worry, fear? How about this one? Demanding our own way. Works good in your marriage, doesn't it? Why doesn't demanding your own way work? Because it's not the image of God. And He invented marriage. So whatever He creates, whatever institution it is, only works His way. So somebody named Jesus, thank God, came as a light in the darkness and said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life that you're looking for. Follow me. Who's He talking to? Human beings. Follow me. He's our example. Write this down if you're taking notes. You cannot live at cross purposes with the nature of Christ without getting hurt. Not because God will hurt you, but because hurt is built into living against the attitude and spirit of Christ. Hurt is built in that way. What do I mean by that? If I just take up resentment, grudges, hatred, anger, lifestyle of sin, I'm going to work my own destruction. God's not hurting me. I'm hurting myself through sin and disobedience. Does that make sense to you? You're made for the very nature of Christ. It is your destiny. How many of you know we all have different origins? We all have different backgrounds, different careers, different ethnicities, all that. We all have different origins, but our destiny is all the same. We're all predestined to look like Jesus. What kind of nation would we have if the people of the United States of America began to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? Do you see why he's the answer to everything? Well, humans don't get made by a creator and then say, oh, we got this. We know how we work better than you. That's a disaster waiting to happen. So what am I saying? I implore you by the Spirit of God. Let's help each other. Let's send each other to our destiny. Let's work together in this. Let's, in our relationships, point each other towards Christ. That's the ultimate goal. That's our ultimate destiny. It's not really about who's right and wrong. It's about being conformed to the image of God's Son. In Matthew 5, 38 through 48, Jesus lists some signs of maturity. Matthew 5, 38 through 48. And it starts like this. Jesus said, you've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Sound good? He said, I say to you, don't resist an evil person. Come again. Then he said, don't repay insults for insults. You're better than that. That's immaturity. When asked to go 1 mile, he said, go 2 with them. In other words, if your boss says it's due in 5 days, shoot for 4. Then he said, if people want your stuff, gift wrap some other stuff and give that to them. Then he said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to the haters. How about this? Repay those who persecute you with prayer. This is maturity. This is the body of Christ and where we're headed. Like it or not, this is where we're headed. And we can try to settle down and tit for tat with the world and get in the political arena and get ugly with everybody else. We can do all that, or we can mature. You can be conformed to the image of God voluntarily in love, or you can get conformed because you're so frustrated with the death you're trying to live that you're not made for. Predestined to look like Jesus. Who'd have thought it? The Creator, that's who. And then he wraps it up and he says, hey, love those people who don't give you any love to love them with. And then you'll demonstrate they're not your source. I am. And he concludes it, coup de grace, verse 48, therefore, be mature as your dad is mature. Amen. I'm not getting help in this full gospel house. How about this? Matthew 5, 43, Message Bible. Jesus says, you're familiar with the old written law. Love your friend and hate your enemy. Well, I'm challenging that. I'm telling you, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When somebody gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you're working out of your true selves. Oh my goodness. Your God-created selves. This is the way. This is what God does. He gives his best. The sun to warm and the rain to nourish. He gives his best to everyone. Regardless, the good, the bad, the nice, and the nasty. Do this because this is what your dad does. Now, before you pass out and think, Brother Steve, this is impossible. Let me point out to you the true you, the born again you, the spirit you that's in union with Christ, not only can do these things, he wants to do these things. This is who you really are. This is the true you. Touch your neighbor and say, this is the true you. Work out of your true selves, he said. And if you see all this and say, well, that's not me, you're knowing yourself by your flesh. You're identifying yourself by how you feel. I don't feel like doing that sometimes. Well, that's the flesh. But the true you, who you are as a born again Christian, Christ inside your spirit in union with you. Remember, we be tea, right? We're tea. We're one with him. He's the tea. You're the water, the dirty water. Then he jumps in the glass with you. We stir it. It turns the color of tea. And what do we call it? Tea. That's who you are. You and him and you not only can do it, wants to do it. Jesus is not saying here, this is what you're supposed to go and do, guys. Good luck. He's saying this is who you are. As sons of your Father, this is who you are. And when you do these things by the Spirit of Christ in you, is it weight or is it wings? It's wings. My goodness. Jesus is introducing the idea that we as Christians have another source for our behavior. And another source for our attitude outside of crisis. Circumstances are not our source for our behavior or our attitude. How about this? Other people and their attitude is not the source of our attitude or our behavior. We are branches. He is our vine. He is the source for our behavior. He is the source for our attitude. This is how we're different. This is how we're oaks of righteousness amidst the storms of life. Amen. Anybody can have joy when all your circumstances, relationships, and business deals are perfect. Anybody can praise God when everything's going well. We can reveal we're supernaturally sourced when we can praise God regardless of those things. You'll never master the circumstances of this planet until you're mastered by Him in your heart. Mastered by Him. All right? You'll never master the circumstances of this world until your heart is mastered by Him. We're able to say, you know what, Lord? That bothers me. That hurts. I don't like it. But You are my source. You mean more to me than that does. We learn through ups and downs and trials and temptations to love like Jesus loves. Because anybody can love Jesus. Who wouldn't love Jesus? It's people that's the problem. But everyone is someone for whom Jesus died. The guy cussing you out with his road rage, God's going to use to conform you to the image of His Son. Rejoice. Amen. Hopefully we're not the road rage people. God's going to use it. When you get mad at the TV because your team's not winning or whatever, God's going to use it to conform you to the image of His Son. Do we feel victorious? This guy cuts you off, okay, or he's honking at you, or he's cussing you out on the road. Do you feel victorious when you cuss back at him? Do you feel like, man, I totally won that? We don't. Come on, be honest. You don't feel like you won, you lost. But what if he's cussing you out and you remain at peace? You say, Lord, bless him. That poor guy. If he's late, Lord, bless him. If he's late, don't let him get fired. Then you feel like, man, I'm on to something. Did it take more strength for Jesus when they spit on him and humiliated him and beat his face up for him to just stand up and cold cock him? You think Jesus has sat down and thought, I guess I won that. Did it take more strength to hit back or more strength to love him and pray for him? This is who we are. These are not things we do. This is who you are in your spirit, man. And we need to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5, you've been made alive by the Spirit, then walk by the Spirit. Woo, amen. If your wife doesn't treat you the way you want her to, God's going to use it to conform you to the image of His Son. He's going to send you to your destiny. And I promise you, you can't get through it until you put on Christ. Everything He's going to use to conform you to the image of His Son. All right, number three, last one. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, guys. This is the rest of Matthew 5. Let's read it. It'll be fun. He said, if all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to people who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. Your kingdom subjects now live like it. Look at this. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously. Live graciously towards other people. For this is the way God lives towards you. This is who we are. This is our identity as new creation Christians. All right. Next one, last one, number three. What do trials do for us? Well, they prepare us for promotion. That's a good thing. Luke 19:17. Because you've been faithful over little, I'll make you faithful over much, right? 10 cities. And then James 1:2, Message Bible. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature. Well developed. Conform the image of Christ, right? Not deficient in any way. Maturity is looking like Jesus, putting on Christ. So the trials we go through are there not to destroy us, they serve to equip us. The trials we go through serve not to destroy us, but to equip and elevate us. How many times have we gone through something? We endured a trial, and all of a sudden we realize coming out of it, we're better and we're stronger people as a result of it. Now, we didn't desire it, but God used it. And now I'm at a whole nother level than I was before. God knows your potential. He realized that trials and tests can activate the potential of Christ in you and show you that your faith is genuine. Bad experience we've had. I think we could all say, yeah, I've been through some bad things, but a lot of those things serve to make me the person I am today. I'm better because of it. I'm more mature because of it. I have a better understanding of other people. I have a better understanding of myself. God has predestined everybody in this room for reigning in life. R-E-I-G-N. Reigning in life. Go back to Genesis 1:28 when we were created. Here's your instructions. Are you ready? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue. Reign. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue. It goes with Romans 5:17, which says, through God's grace and the free gift of righteousness, we reign in this life. R-E-I-G-N. Through grace and the free gift of righteousness. Jeremy, you guys can come. Let me throw this last one up here for you. The beauty is, when the enemy thought he was taking you down by opposing and afflicting you, he was actually making you stronger and preparing you for promotion in God's kingdom. You remember the weight example. We learn to resist. It's not always going to be 5-pound dumbbells. Why? Because God has bigger mountains for you and He to move together down the road. Not saying He causes them. I'm saying He uses tests and adversity in this life to strengthen you, to prepare you to move something far greater down the road. What if so many of your struggles you think are over your past are really about your future and where God is taking you and using some of the adversity to prepare you for promotion? Why is this important? Because we talked early about trial and tribulation and test work on our character. The only way we can get through this is put on Christ. I better learn to forgive. I better walk in forgiveness. Forgive myself, forgive other people. That's a character quotient. Amen. Why does He do that? Because we never want our gifts to outpace our character. If you read 1 Corinthians 12:13-14, the greatest of these is love. And if you try to operate in the gifts of the Spirit and you try to move mountains with faith and you want to raise the dead, you give all your money to the poor and you're going to do this great ministry for Jesus, you do it apart from the love of God, you're annoying. You're tinkling brass and clanging cymbal. Love is the foundation. So He used it to develop character, because we never want our gifts to outrun our character in Christ. Amen. Will you stand with me? Glory to God. Well, if you're here today, this morning, and you've never met this Jesus we're talking about.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.